Good evening. Let's call this meeting to order. This is Champaign County Board of Review of the Whole for Policy, Justice, and Finance. Today is Tuesday, December 14th, 2010. The time is 6:03. Roll call, please.
Alex.
Here.
Ammons.
Present.
Anderson.
Here.
Denzel.
Here.
Bergson.
Here.
Betts. Carter. Cowart.
Present.
Holderfield.
Present.
James.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Notch.
Here.
Kurtz.
Here.
Langenheim. McGinty.
Here.
Michaels.
Here.
Mosier. Nudo.
Here.
O'Connor.
Here.
Petrie.
Here.
Quisenberry.
Here.
Richards.
Present.
Rosales. Sapp.
Here.
Schrader.
Here.
Weibel.
Here. We have a quorum. I note that Mr. Betts is out of town for that committee meeting. Mr. Langenheim is somewhere in the Indian Ocean on a cruise, and Mr. Mosier is down in Florida enjoying the nice weather down there, which apparently is about 30 degrees at the moment. Did we get the minutes? Okay, the minutes are not ready, so we'll skip item 3 and move on to approval of the agenda and the addenda. Moved by Mr. James, second by Mr. Kurtz. Yeah, we're going to pull off. On the addenda, item 7E, on the other business resolution opposition to House Bill 5055. That was a bill that concerned some services that the Sheriff's Department does and is paid for. The bill would have stopped that. That bill is apparently coming to Senator Frey. She's not going anywhere, so we don't need to do that at this time. That's item 9. A9. It'll be on the third page at the bottom. Budget amendment 11-0004. And the other change we're going to do is we're going to move the discussion of the VAC, which is item. Where is it now? Under other business, H, on page 4, finance H. We're going to move that to the front of finance. Further discussion on the agenda and the addenda. Okay, seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Motion carries. Public participation. We have one person who'd like to speak, Mr. Michael Wozniak.
Good evening. My name is Mike Wozniak. I am a member of the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce. I'm a board member there. I'm also a board member for Business Empowered PAC, and I address you this evening on behalf of those two entities. On November 2nd, the Champaign County voters spoke very loudly and clearly regarding the issue of the county board size, and that is the issue that I would like to address now. As you know, the county board reformed to a committee of the whole to address the issue, and also formed a redistricting committee to take the politics out of the redrawing of the districts. Left unresolved was the desire of the people of the county of Champaign, and that issue is now unresolved because they have voted overwhelmingly by about 74% in favor of reducing the size of the county board and the number and redistricting. The Champaign County Chamber has a long time been an advocate for single-member districts and a reduction of the board size. However, as the issue was being debated, it came to appear that the 22 members from 11 districts was a consensus reform that was a very viable option. Both the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce and the Business Empowered PACT supported the referendum, as we believe that a smaller board coupled with nonpartisan redistricting to be implemented would benefit the voters of Champaign County. It is the belief of the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce and the Business Empowered Pact that the redistricting and the number of members being reduced would streamline and create greater efficiencies in Champaign County's government, making it more accountable to the to its constituents. We hope that you have received our voter analysis conducted by the government affairs staff at the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce. If you would look in those materials, you would see that the support for the referendum was nearly uniform across the entire county. In every single district, the redistricting was favorably endorsed by the public. And at this point in time, we'd ask for your support in moving the issue to reduce the number, the board size, to 22 members from 11 districts as endorsed by the citizenry of Champaign County. Thank you.
Is there any other public participation? Seeing none, we'll move on to communications. Mr. Kurtz.
Thank you. We have been discussing the help desk, and I'd like to bring some information to the board. With the help of Mr. Cameron Moore at the RPC, Ms. Valerie McWilliams at the Land of Lincoln Legal Assistance, Mr. Roger Holland at the courthouse, and Linda Frank, we've been able to come up with either private donations or grants, and we'll now be able to reopen the help desk for the next year, and that will take place in January, and I wanted to thank each and every one of them for their support, plus other donations. We're looking for a more permanent solution, which we will start to discuss next year, but we'll be able to open the help desk once again in January to help smooth the court system. Thank you.
Any other communications from the board? Mr. Nudo.
I think all of our thoughts go out to Kat, who's kept work, our strong administrative assistant that does so much for all of us. I know she's got some medical procedures that she's facing coming the 20th, and we're all thinking of her. I'm sure all of us feel the same way.
Anything else? Okay, let's close communications. Let's go on to the area policy personnel appointments. Carol?
All right. First item on policy is the appointment and reappointments for the Rural Transportation Advisory Group. I entertain a motion.
Actually,
Chair, I'm sorry. The chair
has
selected this.
I nominate six people for the Rural Transportation Advisory Group. We still have one opening. The six are Christine Boone, Minor Jackson, Martha Papp, Andy Kozinski, Michelle Ramage, and Mr. Stan James.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Second.
We accept those. Yes, sir.
On your desk, you should have a copy of all the applications from these six applicants, except for Mr. James. These were all recommended to me by the people who are actually starting the service, so I can tell you I had very little inspecting them. That would change next time. However, I know most of these people, I think they are fully qualified and proper people to be on this particular advisory group.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I can't. Even with my glasses, I can't see that far.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Schrader, thank you.
Thanks. It's kind of behind Mrs. Anderson. We'll put it right out there. It's easy. No, I'm not blaming Mrs. Anderson. Sorry. But, no, I just wanted to make a quick point that I would have wished I'd seen more people outside of Champaign-Urbana apply for this, and maybe there will be one more to fill it out. I don't have a problem, but I'd like to see more people, maybe somebody from Rantoul beside Mr. James, I don't know, that maybe somebody from St. Joseph, that east side of the county or something. So maybe somebody will surface, but I don't have a problem with any of these people. I just wish more people from outside of Champaign-Urbana would have more interest in this. It's going to have more effect than on them than anybody else. Thank you.
Mr. Pius.
If I could respond to that, they were looking to cover a good number of different areas, and they also
you do want to have people from where they'll be providing transportation. First leg they're looking at is for Rand Tool, so that's the area that they want to cover. That's why they got Mr. Stan Jay. So I might add also Andy Kozinski works in Rand Tool, lives in Champaign. So he'd be very familiar with that too. And as that they expand it, they will try to find people in those areas too.
Any other comments? Yes, Ms. Petrie.
This is just an informational comment, but why are the terms of being on the board set up in the manner in which they're set up since this is starting a new rotation?
Well, it's set up this way so we don't have to, in a year from now, find six more people. The rules of the board were two-year terms.
Yes, would you use your microphone? I can't hear what you're asking.
I'm asking why two of them go from 2010 to 2011 and four of them go from 2010 to 2012.
Well, because we want to alternate. We don't want to replace them all at once. So that's why some will have a year term. And then, in a year from now, they can run a general, they'll start another term. Does that make sense?
I think your question is, why is it
four? I have, probably because the fourth person, I'm sorry, Stan James is going to be the same as the regular county board. The other five, let's see here. Well, the one to replace, again, there's one opening, that would be the same as Ms. Brown's and Minor Jackson. So the three, the six citizens each be to have three in one term, three in another term. Mr. Stan James is tied to the county board term.
Mr. James.
I was just going to say my information sheet wasn't in there, but if you need to look at it, it's on WikiLeaks.
Any other comments or questions about the appointments? Thank you, Mr. James. All right. All in favor of the nominations selected by our chair, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Hearing none, approved. Item number two tonight is the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District. Mr. Chair, you have your selections.
Two nominations for two positions, term from January 1, 2011 to December 31st, 2015. My picks are Ms. Linda Bauer and Mr. Ronald Peters.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Kurtz. Any discussion on these items? Ms. Petrie.
I'm interested in why Linda Bauer was chosen over Mr. Butler. When I read the applications, I was taken with some of the experience of Mr. Butler.
Actually, I picked Ms. Bauer over Mr. Bambanek and Mr. Butler. Mr. Butler certainly is a viable candidate. What I like about Ms. Bauer is she's an active bus driver, a rider. She's using it now, and that's one thing I'd like. I want somebody on the board who uses the bus, because I think that's important. So that's the primary reason. Other than that, I think Mr. Butler's probably equally qualified, but however, he's not currently a bus rider.
Mr. Dudo.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Okay. Any other comments?
I'll try to continue the discussion.
Seeing no other comments, Mr. Newell, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, approved. Number three is Champaign Southwest Mass Transit District. Mr. Chair.
My nominee is Mr. David Short, term from January 1, 2011 to December 31st, 2015.
Second.
Second.
Second by Mr. James. Any questions or comments on this one? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition?
Aye.
Thank you. Number four is appointment of the Zoning Board of Appeals Chair. Mr. Chair.
I nominate Mr. Eric Thorson as Chair of the Zoning Board of Appeals. I would add that he's already on that. It's strictly making him the Chair.
Is there a second? Ms. Coher, second. Any comments or questions about this appointment? Mr. Schroeder.
Thank you. I want to make a point first, and that is I did serve on the ZBA for 10 years. back in the late 80s into the late 90s, obviously, and I was 5 years chair of that committee. So I have a certain affiliation, and I was privileged to do that for the county. So I have a certain affiliation for that particular spot as chair of the board. And with that being said, I just want to make a point that I've got nothing against Mr. Thorsland. I've worked with him and been around him on land use committee of the Farm Bureau. And he's a fine gentleman. The problem I have is when Mr. Thorsland took over as the substitute chair during the public hearings for the windmill farms, I was very disappointed in how he conducted himself at the meetings. And I say that only because at one point and you have to understand too that the ZBA is the county board's ear for zoning. They have the public hearing. They are the public hearing body for land use in this county, flat out. They have the power to do special use permits. They have the power to do variances. And when it comes to the text amendments, when it comes to map amendments, they're the public hearing body of this county board. And when it came to one particular part of, and I went to more than one of the public hearings for the windmill farms, that a witness was being almost badgered, where the point was the chair can ask questions but not suppose answers and question the individual that's up there. It doesn't matter if the person's making conjecture, as long as it's along the subject matter of the petition or the subject, there's not a problem with that. But when you get to questioning an individual who's up there just giving testimony as a citizen of the county, it makes me uncomfortable, very uncomfortable. There was only one time when I was tenured for 10 years on ZBA that the Zoning Board of Appeals, and I think it's probably the history, I can't remember one since, that the Zoning Board of Appeals went into closed session. And in that closed session, we went into that, and I probably can't divulge names, and I really don't want to, but there's an issue with a board member at the time who brought information in to refute one of the people that was against the petition. And the gentleman ended up having an attack right there on the floor, and we were reprimanded by the state's attorney's office not to do that kind of things. So I know Eric's going to be the chair and everything. I'm not going to try and stop it, but I just can't consciously vote right now. And I know what's the alternative, because no one else has stepped up. The alternative is you have one position that needs to be appointed right now, and an individual could show up that might be able to chair that. But that's up to the board. I'm just suggesting that's what I'm going to do, and that's how I'm going to vote. And I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Mr. Kurtz.
Thank you. I'm not privy to, obviously, some of the things that Mr. Schroeder says, but I've observed Eric and his work ethic over the last 2 years, and I will support this nomination. I think he is a hardworking, dedicated public servant, and has been on the ZBA for a number of years, and I feel he certainly deserves our support. Thank you.
Sorry. Please help me. Thank you. Ms. Holderfield.
Thank you. I was the witness that Mr. Thorsland did badger. And it was unfortunate that anyone would ever be treated with such disrespect and disdain. Coming in as a nonpartisan fact-finding mission. I have nothing against Mr. Thorsland as a person, and I'm sure he is a fine, dedicated individual to his goals and seeing that the land use is done in a way that is beneficial for the county. However, the fact remains that there was inappropriate activity, in my opinion, and I cannot in good conscience support that behavior. However, I understand that there is no one willing to step forward. I would ask the board to consider shelving this. That is your decision. It was a little emotional because it wasn't a fun situation for me to go through, and no one should go through that when they're coming to ZBA as a witness. So, therefore, I will not support Mr. Thorsland. However, I will suggest that if he is indeed voted in to serve in that capacity, that there be an understanding that no one ever deserves to be treated in that manner ever. Thank you.
Mr. Kurtz.
Due to the fact that there's obvious conflict here, I'm wondering if Ms. Hollifield should recuse herself from the vote on Mr. Thorsland because of this conflict.
She can vote.
I'm not sure what if there's that opportunity, but there seems to be an obvious conflict.
Point of order. I don't think she needs to obvious conflict by definition of a conflict. There's no financial gain or any other gain she could gain by voting in this.
Any other comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was fortunate enough to be able to serve on the very first Zoning Board of Appeals that the county had, and we had an extremely good chairman. And over the years, the County Board of Appeals has had excellent chairmen. You cannot have a chairman that badgers witnesses that come before you. It's not only inappropriate, it's just downright wrong. So consequently, I think we need to think very carefully who we're putting into that position, because it is important. They are representing Champaign County when they're out there. And it's unfortunate that those things happen, but it certainly is within our power to see that it doesn't happen again by the same individual.
Mr. Schroeder, if I can just make a comment before
sure,
you do.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm certainly dismayed by the experience Ms. Holderfield experienced. However, my interaction with Mr. Thorsland, I don't have that experience, and I've only known him to be a very hard, dedicated to environmental issues, dedicated to land use and the proper use of it in the county. And so, of course, if at some point Mr. Thorsland has been on the ZBA for some time, and if this was a concern, it could have certainly been brought to the ZBA when he was appointed to the ZBA. This is quite unfortunate that this is a discussion now, and I'm hoping that Mr. Thorsland, as a person who's been appointed to this position, will take your comments to heart and make sure that that does not repeat itself if that is the case. Mr. Schroeder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I could respond real quick to that and make a positive suggestion to this. We're not appointing Mr. Thorsland to ZBA. He appointed with, I don't think, any no votes. Unlike myself, when I was appointed twice, I had a whole party vote against me for ZBA. We're not questioning anything he has since he's been on the board. This is different. We're appointing him as chair. Chair is ZBA's to there to conduct the meetings in a timely, orderly fashion. Asking questions is fine, but I'm not going to repeat what I said before. What I would suggest from a positive standpoint is if somebody from the state's attorney's office, maybe Mr. Ziegler or somebody, could sit down with Mr. Thorsland, I assume he is going to be chair, and kind of go through some procedures and things. Since Mr. Thorsland is going to be the new chair, that they can sit together and have, I wouldn't call it a mini seminar, but a discussion on do's and don'ts and things when conducting the ZBA. That's all I have. Thank you.
Mr. Saff and then Mr. McGinty. Mr. Benzel, I'm sorry. Mr. Saff is
not. Just curious, is there a statutory reason we support or we appoint the chair for this committee? You know, in other committees, we appoint the committee, and the committee elects their own chair. So I'm just not sure.
If I may. Actually, I often, for committees of the county board, I appoint
the
committee and the chair.
And the chair?
That's correct.
Okay.
So this is I guess we're...
So this is different than our redistricting committee?
That was set up...
Tomorrow night, we're going to elect a chair.
That was set up by the resolution itself.
So, okay.
Mr. McGinty.
Hopefully related to this, I believe that the role of any chair, regardless of the meeting type, is primarily to run the meeting efficiently, run that portion of the meeting efficiently, encourage the discussion, be efficient about it, and save opinion until the end. They can have an opinion, but it's my opinion that that the chair should save it for the end and encourage other discussion first. I think that Mr. Thorson has probably heard us tonight, and I think that we should move on and vote on this. I'm going to support it and watch and make sure that this doesn't happen again. It is unfortunate. I'm sorry to hear about it. I wasn't there. But let's encourage all of the folks who are running these meetings to run them in a manner that is respectful and encourages the movement of business efficiently, and then provide their opinion at the end if needed. Thank you.
So noted. Let's call a vote on this question. We're going to vote on this since this is a chair prerogative. I understand, but that's the chair's prerogative to close discussion at this point, and we're going to call for the vote on this
point
issue.
Order. No one's asked for the vote. I have a right to say something. I haven't spoken twice.
I'm sorry, Mr. McGinty.
I have not spoken twice like some others have. I have a right to make a statement.
I understand, but I'm going to overrule it and ask our chair at this point if this is his nomination and call for the vote.
Parliamentary procedure in that we take a vote.
You can challenge the ruling of the chair if you care to.
The recommendation is that we take the last comment at this point. So we'll take the last comment and then we'll call for the vote.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. I want to second what Mr. McGinty said about the role of the chair. And also, I had the pleasure of having breakfast with Mr. Thorsland. And I believe he said to me very succinctly that that's his intent. So I feel in favor of in voting for him. But I think the points have been made and he's heard. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposition?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passed.
Item B on the agenda is Lincoln Exhibit Committee, request for approval of amendment to Memorandum of Understanding between the Champaign County Forest Preserve District, the Champaign County Forest Preserve District Foundation, and the Champaign County Board.
Moved by Ms. Cora. Second?
Second.
By Mr. James. Any discussion on this item? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none. Item 2B, B2, Lincoln Exhibit Committee, first annual report to the Champaign County Board and the Champaign County Forest Preserve District, December 2010. Is there a motion to receive for that?
So moved. Second.
Mr. Pius and Mr. James. Any discussion on that? Mr. James.
Well, I know Barb's had a big hand in this, and I just want to say that, you know, with the limited funds they've had and the things they've done, I've been up there to the courthouse. I'm not one that really goes through a lot of museums or traipses around looking at art and stuff, but I must say you've done an excellent job. It even fooled me, so congrats.
It educated me.
There you go.
Any other comments on this? All in favor of placing this on file?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none.
Yeah.
We
I'm sorry, we need to go to the addendum. We skipped an appointment on the addendum, which is 7A. Champaign County Community Action Board, term 12-1-10 to 12-1-12. Mr. Pyatt.
My nominee is Bill Manning.
Second.
Second by Mr. James. Any discussion on this nomination? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? That's approved. Thank you. Back to the regular agenda. We have our county administrator's report.
The vacant positions listing is in your packet. It's simply for your information.
Thank you very much. I entertain a motion on item D, the monthly report, November 2010, the semi-annual report, November 2010. I'll move those two items together. Is there a second to that motion? I'm sorry. Moved by Mr. Weibel. Is there a second?
Second.
Who said? Mr. Alex, thank you. Any discussion on those two reports? Ms. Petrie.
I just have a question of clarification on page 25. It says this is signed the third day of June 2009. But this is a report for, I gather, November 2010.
I think there's a clerical typo.
Oversight.
Mr. Sheldon, instead of...
Pretty confident that's a typo. We do one in June and one in December.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none. Motion carried. Item D3, request approval of liquor ordinance amendments. Moved by Mr. Weibel. Second?
Second.
I'm sorry, Mr. O'Connor, second. Mr. Weibel.
Well, as you know, we discussed this last month, and we were hoping to get some information from the legal counsel on this. I have not received any information. I've emailed them. I have actually asked them in person. I believe Ms. Busey is checking this too. Mr. Sheldon, have you received any information from the attorney's office? It's not Mr. David, so he can't help us out. Okay, well, I would therefore move me to defer this to next month so we get the opinions from our legal attorney.
Is there a second on a deferral?
Second.
Second by Mr. McGinty. All in favor on deferring this item until next month to get more information from the state's attorney's office?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none. We'll defer D3 until next month. Item E, under other business, resolution establishing guidelines for the Champaign County 2011 apportionment plan. Moved by Mr. McGinty and second by Mr. Knott. Thank you. Any discussion on this item? I'll go Mr. Knott first and then Ms. Fitcher.
Well, I'm extremely pleased that we've gotten to this this far. This has been a 3 or 4 year journey that I think Brenda and I first suggested at that time. But I think the voters validated the discussion that we had last fall about reducing the size of the board from 27, 9 districts by 3 to 22, 2-member districts by 11. I urge my colleagues to validate what the voters gave us, and that's to put this forward in the terms of to the redistricting commission to let them do their work based on this new map. What I think it does and what I've thought all along is a smaller board is more effective. I think more districts actually are more important in this case, and I think what we did was compromise on the various options that we had last fall to put them forward to the voters, and again, they validated what we did. So I'm very pleased we've gotten to this point. I think it's historic in terms of the reorganization of the board. You figure we've only done it once in 40 years, and I don't know what it was prior. When I look at these pictures, years they had 50 or 60 people here, so I can only imagine how long those meetings were. So I encourage you to support it, even if you don't like it. In some ways, you're just supporting what the voters asked us to do. Thank you.
I have Ms. Petrie and then Ms. Anderson.
Yes, I want to share what I've been learning from constituents in relationship to this resolution. And in my sharing, I do want to remind everyone that I have been for reducing the size of the board. It's been up on my website since January of 2010. However, I would be remiss if I didn't share some of these comments. When I was canvassing before the November election, usually three items were mentioned to me upon canvassing. One of those was the functionality or lack thereof of the county board. When I would ask people, what is their suggestion for improving the county board's decision-making process, the answer always was reduce the size of the board, never a reflection on the number of districts. Since the November election and the strong passage of the resolution, I have been asking people if they were willing to share it with me, if they voted yes or no. If they voted no, I asked why, and they would tell me, consistently, they voted no, not because they didn't want a change in the county board, but because they got no choice in the referendum. It was just one thing. It was not, are you in favor of reducing the size of the county board? If so, five people, seven people, nine people. And then additionally, the comment was, why in the world did the board pass it so that it would be an even number of people on the board? That makes absolutely no sense. If they voted yes, I would ask them, did you vote yes because of the specific wording of the referendum? I've gotten no answers. We voted for it because of the way it was worded. Then I said, why did you vote for it? And those people who voted yes say, we voted for it because we want change in the county board and we want the county board reduced. So my concern, since I'm hearing this from constituents, is the restrictiveness of the resolution that we're talking about this evening and means and ways of giving the redistricting commission, which the previous board set up and which constituents say they set up a redistricting commission, why don't they allow them to do their job of what is the best way to use the 2010 census data to make compact and contiguous districts? So somehow it is in the interest of what these constituents are pointing out is how can we broaden the base of the responsibility of this redistricting commission so they're not restricted to 11 and 2, but they do the best job with the data they get from the 2010 census to redistrict in the best possible way for the functionality of the county.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Anderson.
Somewhat similar to what Ms. Petrie said, I think the voters did overwhelmingly support the resolution, so I do intend to vote for it. But I had a number of people in my district and some outside of the district ask me before the election. You know, I tried to give them some pros and cons and what some of the thinking was on the people who really kind of worked on this. And there was sentiment to reduce the board, not in all instances, but I didn't have anybody make a suggestion of the number. In fact, you know, they ask about it, and when I asked them if they had suggestions, they didn't really. They just, the sentiment was to perhaps reduce, but they didn't know enough to make other suggestions, and a number did have concerns about the even number for voting.
James and Ms. Berkson.
Some of the comments that the people on the rural area would ask me was they were worried about the rural area being so large and only having two representatives. And I would ask them that, you know, when you look at Congress or the Senate or the state or anybody, you got to go with what's best and what's best for government. And then the next question was, well, will you be the one cut out? And I said, probably so. And they voted overwhelmingly to support it.
That's very funny. You have to use your microphone.
When I talk to people about it, overwhelmingly they objected to the lack of choice. I don't think anyone who voted for it would have chosen 22 people in 11 districts. Most people wanted smaller districts and a smaller county board, but more along the line of single-member districts and 20 or so of them, something along those. I don't think we gave the people the choice, so I don't think we really know what they want, but the people who voted for it are saying this is not what they wanted. That's just all that they were offered.
Mr. McGinty.
Well, the last board talked about it a hell of a lot, and that's why we came up with compromise position. I'm for single-member districts. I'm for a smaller board. But that's okay, because this is a step in the right direction. And this is what would have gotten the votes. We talked about it a lot at the last board. And so we came up with a proposal to put on a ballot. And for whatever reason, and you can guess what people are thinking, 74% still supported it. I'm going to support this because the people have spoken that they want a smaller board. This is the option in front of them. I respect the work that that went into arriving at that number. I do think it's a compromise position. You heard the folks from the chamber earlier with different views. I think everybody could come up with different numbers, and many people did. Right, the first proposal came from Mr. Thorsen. You know, several others put forth proposals, and I know that Mr. Rosales did, and others on our board, and we came up with 22 in two member districts. That's fine. This is certainly a step in the right direction for the reasons that Greg already mentioned. Accountability. You look at, and you know, our strategic planning special committee analyzed this as well, and we looked at why other counties were reducing in size, and it was all about accountability. You can agree with that or not, but their studies as well came up with accountability. I agree with that. This is certainly a step in the right direction. We can take further steps later, but let's support this and go on.
Mr. Nudo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. President Obama made a very wise observation when he was talking about the tax proposals in this past week. He said that this country was based, the Constitution and the country's inception was based on compromise. The Whigs versus the Tories, Madison versus Jefferson. There was a lot of heated debate during that time frame when this country was founded. So compromise is a wise thing when we come up with answers. Now, Mr. McGinty is exactly right. We spent the better part of 3 months discussing, and we had options in front of us. Some of you remember Mr. Betts proposed 17 single-member districts. Well, the compromise was that, and then others wanted to keep it as it was, as Mr. Kurtz did. But the Farm Bureau would never accept anything less than a multi-member district for their rural representatives. That was pretty overwhelming. And those that wanted other parts to keep it at 27-3 really didn't come up with the answers how we make this body more efficient and more representative of government here in this county. So the compromise was 11-22. And anecdotal stories that we're hearing tonight really don't have the impact of a 74-26 vote. Not one person who ran in this last election received the percentage or the number of votes in this body here. Not one state representative, not one, got more votes than this resolution.
I'm sorry, I just don't buy the anecdotal stories, because you can frame your question with them any way you want. I have no idea how you frame that question. Would you have preferred single-member districts? I sure do. You know, so I think we have to do what the body tells us. Now, it's up to us to make this decision. Yes, we were the ones that proposed it because we had three different proposals. Single-member districts came in last. So this is what we should do. The committee, the mapping committee, starts tomorrow. They have the obligation to draw a map by April 1st. There's no reason if we wait and delay or make some other reason that we should come up with another time frame to do that. We meet again on January 21st. That just gives them 2 months to draw a map. So let's do this. Let's do it right. Let's listen to what the public said and make this thing happen. Thank you, Ms. Chair.
Cycles. Madam Chair, may we have a roll call vote on this, please?
Yes. Is there a second for a roll call vote?
Second.
Okay. All in favor for roll call?
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. O'Connor?
I just wanted to say the referendum was there for a purpose. If we didn't need a referendum, then we shouldn't have gone through the motions, because we can't sneer at it now, which is what we would literally be doing. 74-26 speaks pretty loud, and if we could have just put out a commission on our own, which I think could have been done, and not troubled the people with a referendum, so be it. But the referendum speaks pretty loud, and I was not born deaf. I'm losing my hearing in my old age, but I can hear.
Mr. Carter.
Yes. Well, I've been hearing a mixed bag on this board side. A lot of them jumped on me because they can't get nothing out of the board. And I know I've been sitting here for quite many years, and the 27 members haven't been had for participation in this board. Only a few voices when you come up here with a problem. And in my district, they want to know why is it that when you call and want to ask a question, nobody can answer your question. So they wonder if they want to fire us all up, or what is the problem. And I just told them the problem. If you speak out too much up here, it seems to be that you Richard Lee gonna get cut off pretty quick. Somebody get an attitude and think you're trying to take over the board, and that's not it. When I was elected, I swore I was going to look after the people of Champaign County and their interests, and that's what I've been trying to do. But it's been hard to do on this board. That's been hard to do. Look at your committees right now. Your committees don't even touch you. Now, why is that? Who made that rule? Who taking that out of this? I don't think the size of the board is the problem. We get less now than we did when I first got on this board. If it's monetary you're talking about, and I haven't seen that many members up here that was, what you call that when you stonewall in the committee or keep them from functioning. I haven't seen that on this board. We haven't had that problem. So I'm trying to figure out where is the problem coming from. And I just like to say now, I wish we was operating like we was 15 years ago. Because you knew when you come to this board, you knew what you was talking about. Now you don't, because you only have that little few running this board. A lot of the other members don't get to exercise their rights on this board. And that bothers me. So to me, it don't look like the way it is now. I wish you go back and be democratic like we used to be. And let the committee function, bring it back to the board. We used to go out if we had a problem in the county, we have to go out and investigate and bring it back to the board. You don't do that anymore. I come up here I'm on the highway committee. Somebody else takes care of my business, come back and tell me, well, you got to vote on this. You know, I don't know what. I don't know what's in it until I get to the board meeting. So I think you got to look at the size of the board is not your problem.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. Ms. Kurtz?
Even though this referendum was advisory to us, the 2211 looks like it's going to pass tonight. But that's just a recommendation to next week's board meeting for passage. And it doesn't stop any one of the board members here from bringing in a substitute resolution of a different size and a different amount of districts that might be more acceptable next week when we have more options. I just want you to know that the 2211 most likely will pass, but that doesn't stop any of us from having a substitute resolution for a smaller board, but in a different way, perhaps single districts, or perhaps 18 and 9 districts. But just to let you know that I'm sure 22 and 11 will pass tonight. There's enough votes for that. But that doesn't stop us from making other recommendations next week.
Any other comments?
Call question.
All right, we're going to have a roll call on this.
Clerk? Alex?
Aye.
Ammons?
He said aye.
Aye.
Ammons?
Aye.
Anderson?
Yes.
Benzel?
Yes.
Bergson?
Yes.
Bett?
I'm sorry.
Carter?
No.
Coert?
Yes.
Holderfield?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Knott?
Yes.
Kurtz?
Yes.
Blank? No. McGinty?
Yes.
Michaels?
Yes.
Nudo?
Yes.
O'Connor?
Yes.
Petrie?
Yes.
Quisenberry?
Yes.
Richards?
Yes.
Rosales?
Yes.
Sapp?
Yes.
Schrader?
Yes.
Weibel?
Motion passed. We're on to item F with the chair's report. I don't have a report, do I? We don't have a report. We didn't get to meet. So we'll do that next month. Designation of items on consent are, let's see. Item A.
1, 2, 3, and 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Item B. 1 and 2. D. 1, 2. And that's it?
Actually, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, 1 and 2 just reports, yes. Okay. That's all. That's all from policy. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next up is Justice and Social Services. Mr. Richards, please.
First up on Justice and Social Services, we have our monthly reports. The latest reports that we have made available for us from agencies are Animal Control, October 2010. There's no EMA report, correct? There is no current EMA report. November 2010 for Head Start, October 2010 for Probation and Court Services, and we have statistics from September of 2010 for the Public Defender. Somebody like to make a motion, either omnibus or for the first one, Mr. James?
I'll make a motion to accept the
omnibus motion. Motion by James, second by Rosales. Any comments?
I would just like to say before we vote, go over these very quickly.
Thank you. For animal control, for October 2010, we had 425 cats registered, 944 dogs registered, 1,369 tags. The revenue we brought in from registrations, fines, and fees, and the kennel services was $19,556. And we impounded 100 dogs and 90 cats. Most important thing that was on the Head Start thing was there's a current enrollment of 528, and they feel that their federal review went well, so hopefully nothing's going to blow up in our face on that for a little while. For probation services and juvenile detention, in the month of October, inmates range from 11 to 23 with an average of 18. And the last, it was the end of the month, was the lowest. And for public defender, in September, which is the latest information we have, there were 631 cases opened, 212 of those were felonies, and 681 cases closed, 209 felonies closed. All in favor of placing these on file?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion to place on file passes. Next, we have B1, approval of the intergovernmental agreement for animal control services with the City of Champaign. Motion by Ammons, seconded by Anderson. This is for $115,467.37 annually. Goes through June 30th of 2013 with a 45-day termination notice. Are there any comments on this? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. On the addendum, we have an intergovernmental agreement for animal impound services for the City of Urbana.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Carter. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Quisenberry. This agreement goes through June 30th, 2012, 90-day termination, and it is annually for $34,940.04. Are there any comments on this, Mr. James?
Do you recall what the last contract was with them? Is this higher, lower, or about the same, money-wise?
I don't know the exact dollar amount, but this does reflect a slight increase.
Thank you. Any other comments? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Let's see. There's no other business. As far as chair's report, the Citizen Advisory Board for jury selection meeting was canceled this month. To my knowledge, correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Ammons, but it has not been rescheduled for December so far. Okay, so there's nothing to report on that. As far as items to be placed on the consent agenda, B1 and 2, though passed unanimously. And that's it for justice.
Thank you, Mr. Richards. Next up is finance. Mr. McGinty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Bear with me. It's going to be a long list and not much omnibus opportunity, so we're going to go through this as efficiently as possible. The first is an amendment.
I called the order today. The item from the...
the VAC is going to go first.
Correct. Item H1. Thank you. And that is... a request for establishment of and funding for a Veterans Assistance Commission in Champaign County. Is there a motion for approval by Greg? Is there a second by Stephanie Pius?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. McGinty. As you may be aware, most of you received notice that this VAC had formed, I believe, in October or so of last year. Previously, I sent out to the county board some of the statutes concerning the Veterans Administration Commission, and actually over the weekend I realized that we had new members, so I sent them out again. This is a new ball game for us. It's also obviously a new ball game for the people in Champaign County. Ms. Busey and I have been working on trying to determine what direction to go in and things like that, trying to get more information about that. And we've had some success there. We've talked to some people locally about it. And we've also involved Mr. Noodle in some of these meetings also. You have in front of you a single page a letter to me. It has the Illinois Association of County Veterans Assistance Commission's letterhead on the top. This was received by my office on November 15th. This was about a month ago. And actually, this has some good information. Like if you look at the first paragraph, the last sentence. No VAC has gotten started without a hitch. I would say that's probably true. We're going to have some hitches. It's going to be a bumpy and grindy road to some part. One thing that we do like, as Ms. Busey and Mr. New, we know is a list of important steps that are highlighted, sorry, bulleted in the middle of this page. The first one is file a copy of the VAC with the Champaign County bylaws with the county clerk. That actually has been done. Next, we have a rep of the county board chairman. If VAC means allow the right rep to share their expertise. I'm planning on doing that. We'll probably set up a small committee that would do that, and we'll probably do that in January. Brown Brothers, next, is to develop a process of how the veterans' assistance be administered and share the information with the liaison with the county board. That's in the future. And finally, the last thing is to develop a budget and budget control. That is the very last thing. So let's go back to the first item, is to file a copy of the VAC with the Champaign County bylaws with the county clerk. We asked our legal counsel to look at the bylaws that establish the VAC and ask if this is... let me back up. We want to do this... first of all, the VAC is a valid entity, and there's no question they're going to be here, and we're not going to fight that. There's no question about that. And, the state statute clearly states that the county has to provide office space. Ms. Busey and I have been working on that. They will get office space fairly soon. There's some competition for that space, so we haven't quite figured out where that's going to be. It is my opinion that this board will likely have to provide some financial assistance money to the VAC. That's my opinion. But if we're going to do it, we want to do it right. So therefore, we carefully looked at the bylaws established by the VAC and how they did that. And we asked Mr. Lasorda to comment on them to see if he thought they were correct so that once they are correct, we can move on to the next step. So Mr. Lasorda, if you could step up to the mic.
Yes, sir.
Now, I think the board members do not have a copy of the bylaws, correct?
I don't know what the board members have. I apologize.
Not tonight. Okay, I'm trying to take on that part. We will get a copy to you. But you look at the bylaws. Can you express any, say, omissions or inconsistencies within the bylaws?
I was asked to take a look at these from a very general perspective, in no small part because this is something that the county is dealing with for the first time. It's a statutory mandate that the county board comply, as Chair Weibel indicated, but this is an organization that's aimed at passing on tax dollars to veterans in need. So I was asked to take a look at that. Let's make sure we start out the correct way to do this. One of the first things that I noticed is, of course, this is spending public money. This is going to be a public body. You all are familiar with the Open Meetings Act and some of the obstacles that that presents. Based on the information I have, that when the organization was formed, there was no quorum present. It's certainly something that can be remedied, but at this point in time, I would be uncomfortable advising the county board to proceed dealing with an entity that's not properly formed. Again, something that I think could be remedied, but it's clear based on the information I have that a quorum had not been established. Other concerns that are based in part on some of the confusing language in the statute, as supposing we get to that point, this is going to have to be basically an interactive process between the county board and the Veterans Assistant Commission. The commission is organized very loosely like the county board is, and questions arise as to whose authority do you respond to. Do you respond to the superintendent? Do you have to respond to resolutions or ordinances from whatever executive committee they may choose to form? So those are very fundamental. I know you don't have all of the rules in front of you. I've actually started compiling a list. They're all things that can be remedied. But based on that, I was recommending that those be fixed. And last but not least, and I hope I don't overstep, this is for the dispersal of funds. You know better than I do where we stand financially, as well as where we stand in the financial timeline. When you were notified, I do not believe any finances were budgeted for the Veterans Assistance Commission. So I don't want to overstate that, but there's a very real obstacle that you're going to have to deal with. Everything that I spotted, though, I think could be remedied.
Mr. Thorne, I would ask that when you're done going through the bylaws, could you send a list of them to me? I will forward them to the commission. I'll also send a copy out to the county board members, too.
Will do.
Any questions for Mr. Thorne? Chris?
I have one. I read the relevant statute, and it's extremely broad with regard to the manner and the amount of funding that the county's obligated to provide for this. And I think I trust my fellow 26 members of the county board would agree that it's one of the most important things America can do is to look after our veterans. But I am somewhat in the dark here in terms of how much money this is going to require the taxpayers to pay, and I'm wondering if there is any additional statutory material that we don't have access to that describes, for example, formulas or means of determining the level of assistance that the county is supposed to provide, or in the absence of that, and perhaps this is a question for the county administrator as well, have we looked at how other counties that have Veterans Assistance Commissions determine the level of funding, and whether that is provided out of general funds or by additional tax levies or such? I'm just wondering if you can give us some more background in terms of the research that we've done on that.
The statute, like many of our military assistance statutes, have been revised from a legislative perspective and from an interpretation perspective that can make it challenging. It appears that it was born before the days of the Veterans Administration. So the guideline that you have is, and I quote, provide just and necessary sums of money. There certainly are guidelines in the forms that we can look at what the formula, the regulations, the codes for the government bodies that currently exist. Again, they did not exist when the statute was first drawn up. My understanding is that we have had contact with some other counties regarding their Veterans Assistance Commissions and how they deal with them. To what extent that information is useful, I don't know. I have not personally seen any information indicating what the need is out there that the Veterans Assistance Commission is intending to address.
Patsy, then Michael.
To build on Mr. Alex's statement / question, I would really like to have a defined list of benefits that veterans do have access to on within other levels of government, so then those could be omitted from what possibly the VAC might be doing, so there isn't, if we could minimize duplications. I look at this budget that's here in a packet and it takes my breath away, and we do have some fiduciary responsibilities within the county expenditures, so I share Mr. Thorne's concern about the fact that this is a new item and we're on thin ice.
Michael?
Does this motion actually put forward specific appropriations? It says establishment and funding for a commission. Are we actually putting forward any money tonight?
I don't think that that's clear. I don't think that we are. I might suggest either withdrawing or deferring based on what the state's attorney is saying in this particular case. Are you thinking defer or withdraw? Or
I was the mover. I would change that to defer until we get further information from Mr. DeThorne.
So that is a motion by Greg to defer. I'm sorry. And Carol seconds. Pius.
Okay. Well, I want to say that. I want to comment for you. Let's see. The comment to defer. Okay. I think we should defer it because one thing it would be nice to have before we act on this is to have an assessment of what are the needs out there in this county. I have no idea. I'm sure there are some way of trying to get an idea. Certainly, I think we can know how many, find out how many veterans are out there, but the question is how many veterans are in need of this type of system. That's the unknown. And I think we can somehow find that out, that information, whether you do an assessment or look at census data or something like that. That information is valuable and it would help us to try to figure out what should be budgeted towards this program.
Okay, comments on the motion to defer, Stan, then Carol.
Well, I, you know, at this point, I'm like Pius. We need more information, and I guess in my mind, my dad was in the military, my brothers, my sisters. I was the only fortunate one that didn't need any more colonels. But there's so many organizations out there that we see it all the time that are providing assistance to certain groups, and then we get overlap. And I know that, you know, there's a lot of laws and things on the books that as time goes on, there's always a glitch, and we need to look at this and make sure, because like it was said earlier by the gentleman up front, by all means, our veterans have served our country and they deserve our support and they deserve what is entitled to them. But with so many things out there, let's make sure that we're doing the right thing for the county residents and that we're not burdening them and taking away from other things that are desperately needed.
Carol is passing. Any other comments on the motion to defer, Michael, then Jan?
I'm in favor of having a commission, but I support the deferral because I would feel much more comfortable voting on this after the state's attorney's assured us it's a legally organized body.
Jan?
Similar comment, and I guess I just want to know if I vote for deferral, that doesn't keep us from seeking the information that we've talked about here.
I think the process continues.
And I would think that these other counties that have had these for several years might be able to indicate some of the kinds of services that might be lacking. I would think transportation maybe might possibly be something that we have the VA hospital in Danville, but often getting two services in other groups as well as veterans can be a problem, but there's probably other things as well.
Mr. Carter.
Yes. This is very good. I like to see this, but I know when you come to Champaign County, we always broke. We can't afford nothing. So I would like to see it deferred. I am a veteran. I'm a veteran, and I'm going to tell you, Champaign County, you don't have any source of information for a veteran. And when you call, you just get turned. It's sickening. You go serve your country and come back and nobody have any answers when you need them. And I'm over at Danville now, and I'm going to tell you, I was glad when I could get Medicare. That's a shame to say that, to get a system. Because I don't know what the problem is down here. The veterans out of Chicago and other places have more benefits than, I can't understand that. Why does one facility have more benefits than the other one? And it's all supposed to be veterans. I never could get an answer for that either. So I would like to meet him and talk with him. I'm a career veteran.
I'm a Cold War.
Yes. Okay, we can discuss that after the meeting, please.
Yeah.
And is there any other discussion on the motion to defer? Stephanie.
I am in agreement to defer this. I did read through the VAC information, the bylaws, and it is like getting a paintbrush, and it was so broad that I think we really need legal assistance in helping us to determine how this is going to be set up. I think this is too soon to have any kind of a vote. We need more investigation. I am a daughter and a sister of veterans, granddaughter. I wholeheartedly agree that the assistance in Champaign isn't the best. I have a disabled vet for a brother, but I would much prefer that it be done right the first time. So I suggest highly that we do defer this.
Are we ready to vote? Chris? No? Okay. Here we go. All in favor of deferral, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Thanks, Dave. Okay, back to A1 and all the amendments and transfers. These first few are from fiscal year 2010. Please make note of that. The first one was 100099, County Clerk, $7,000 to cover payroll expenses for the end of fiscal year 2010. Is there a motion for approval by Brad, seconded by John? Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Next up, also from fiscal 10, it's amendment 100100 for $4,298 out of the Board of Review. And this is to cover a shortage due to payout of benefits to a retiring employee. Is there a motion for approval? By Carol, seconded by Stan. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries. Item number 3 out of fiscal 10, an amendment 100101 for $1,279 revenue neutral adjustment required by increased collection of property tax for cooperative extension. Is there a motion for approval by Lorraine, seconded by John? Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries. Item number 4, a budget transfer, 100012 for $1,255 to adjust for increases in work comp and IMRF out of the Circuit Clerk's Office. Motion for approval by Lorraine, seconded by Geraldo. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries. Next up, item 5, out of fiscal 10, a budget transfer, 100013, nursing home for $160,000. Necessary to transfer the funds from non-benefit lines to employee benefit lines to ensure all benefits are paid in the appropriate budget year. Is there a motion for approval? By Carol, seconded by Jan. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries. Item 6, this is out of fiscal 11, a budget amendment, 110001 for $107,760 out of highway. These funds were encumbered in fiscal 2010 for the new dump truck to replace the truck that was destroyed by fire. Motion for approval by John. Second by Lorraine. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Out of fiscal 11, item number 7, an amendment, 110002, revenue neutral for $60,924 out of public properties. This reflects a grant received from the U.S. Department of Energy to remove and replace interior metal halide fixtures, T12 fluorescents, and incandescent lights with high efficiency. Motion by Stan for approval, seconded by Geraldo. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Next up, item 8, fiscal 11, an amendment, 110003 for $7,500 revenue neutral for a corporate fund, general corporate fund. Champaign County has been designated to receive donations and manage payment of all expenses for the 2011 community-wide Martin Luther King event. Is there a motion for approval by Carol, seconded by Michael? Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Item number 9, fiscal year 2011 budget amendment. Oh, was removed. Thank you. Item number 10, also fiscal 11, a transfer 110001 for $38,700 public defender contract with private attorney to cover the George Vargas caseload while on military duty. Motion by Brad, seconded by Stan. Discussion. Patsy.
Information question. When I read the contract, it said that the payment is $3,000 a month, and that's listed for December, January, and February, and then it goes up to $3,300 for March through November. I don't see any notation of the increase.
In the $38,700 transfer that you're being asked to approve?
Right, on page 44 and 45 when I look and read the contract.
Yes, but are you saying that the $38,700 doesn't cover the total amount of the contract?
No, what I'm asking is why is the amount
as stated in the contract, only for December, January, and February, and then increased to $3,300 for March through November. And there's no, was the contract changed?
That was what was agreed to in the contract, that the rate would change at that point. You're looking at the contract. And the compensation through the contract increases. Those are the terms of the contract.
Okay, I guess I'm missing this. Okay, I see what you're saying. I can't answer that. The public defender, with the presiding judge's authority, entered into this contract with the attorney. I can't tell you why it's for more than $36,000.
Carol?
The total, the payment plan that's explained on 44, when you add it up, equals 38.7.
Right, and I don't know why the contract doesn't reflect the increase. I thought that it did. This is an old contract. Okay, that's what it is. This contract is already in place. It was negotiated in April 2010, so it looks like at the end of the year, that's when he's saying that March through November he would increase it to $3,300 instead of $3,000, which would mean there should be a subsequent contract.
Hold on. I had other folks first, Ron, and then Astrid.
Well, I was just going to ask if there was any urgency to approve this tonight or if we should defer it to find out the answer.
What information? Well, we could just pass it on to the regular kind of board meeting, and at that time, if we have the information finally done, if we don't, then defer it then.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Typically, the public defender provided you more information here than you would normally receive. Normally, you would just receive the budget amendment. I wasn't sure why he provided the contract as well. It is an older contract. I'm sure we can provide an explanation for you by Tuesday of the basis for it. I think the budget amendment probably spells it out. But.
Ron, a follow-up?
Please. Can we forward without recommendation to the full board?
There you go.
Sure.
Yes. Astrid, could you use your mic, please? I'm sorry. Microphone.
This one clearly ends in March, so it has 3 months of the $3,000 of this contract on it. So there is another contract somewhere for $3,300 a month.
Or there will be after you approve this.
Right, but it's clear that since it starts in April, it's just going to be 9 months a year at the new salary and 3 months at the old.
Procedurally, how do you want to?
Forwarding with that recommendation is fine, because we can have the answers for the board meeting.
And the full board vote on that.
Right.
And does there have to be a motion for that?
No, if you all agree, just put it on the board agenda next week. That's what we can do.
All right. Is there any objection to moving this on to the full board without recommendation? We'll do that and move on. Okay. Thank you. And thank you. From the addendum, item number 11, a budget amendment from fiscal 11, 11-00007 for $19,548 revenue neutral emergency management. This is to reencumber funds not spent in fiscal 2010 for EOC. Is there a motion for approval by John, second by Carol? Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 12, an amendment 10-00105. For $54,000 toward immunity. This is payment of a remaining fiscal year general corporate work comp payroll premiums. Is there a motion for approval by Brad? Is there a second by Chris? Did you? Oh, I'm sorry, Stephanie, then. Discussion. Stan?
I just was going to clarify that this is to pay on our workman's comp premiums. That's the only reason we haven't been sued by somebody again. Thank you.
Anything else? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 13 is an amendment, 100104, for $72,000. Treasurer is transfer per 35 ILCS 200/21-33 to general corporate fund at the end of each fiscal year. Any money above $100,000 in this fund needs to be moved. So is there a motion for approval by Carol? Is there a second by Lorraine? Any discussion on this? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Now, back to item B, or letter B, on the agenda. Under State's Attorney, we have two resolutions. I think that these can move in an omnibus manner, and I'll recommend that. The first is a resolution to designate the office of the State's Attorney, appellate prosecutor, as agent, and the second is a resolution authorizing a litigation assistance agreement between the County of Champaign and the office of the State's Attorney, appellate prosecutor. Is there a motion for approval of both? Stan? Is there a second by Al? Discussion. You, Al. Which Al? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries. Next up, hiring freeze waiver. We'll take these one at a time. The first is a request to waive hiring freeze for a part-time custodian position. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
By Al, seconded by Jan. Discussion? Stan, then Lorraine.
Is this one that has come open and has already been filled at one time or another? I mean, this isn't a new position, right?
This is an existing position where the current incumbent has left employment with the county, and we're requesting to be allowed to fill it.
If I may, on that note, I know we have a hiring freeze, but it would seem to make sense to me if you have a person who's employed and they're leaving, that you're going to need to fill that slot. It's not a new person. It's not a new position. That instead of always bringing this before the board, that department heads should have that right, other than if it's a new position or a new creation of a full-time from a part-time. But to bring this up, I mean, if I'm at work and one of my employees leave, I better get that position filled or I'm going to be doing more work. So is there any way we can change this, or do we need a resolution?
Under your current hiring freeze resolution, the department is operating as required by that hiring freeze. But under County Administrator report tonight, I have a request that you give consideration to changing the hiring freeze. So the way it stands right now, as this became vacant, this department head is required to come to you to request this.
Lorraine?
Oh, I was going to ask sort of the same thing to Stan asked.
Okay. Astrid?
The thing is, if you let them always replace everyone with fire, presumably you're looking to get some shrinkage by attrition, and you'll never get it if they can automatically replace everyone.
That's right. And this current hiring freeze resolution has worked because we have eliminated 40 positions, and probably almost 30 of those were through attrition.
And if you change it the way you want, will that continue?
No, but I'm prepared to present some information to you on that issue when we get to it on the agenda.
Which we will. Anything else on this issue? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The second request is a request waiver of hiring freeze for appraiser slash analyst position. Motion by Al for approval. Is there a second by Greg? Discussion on this. Pius.
I would ask Mr. Jenkins to step forward and explain why it would be extremely difficult for his office to fulfill statutory obligations.
Stan, do you mind?
No, not at all.
Just stay out of this for once.
Excuse my voice. I'm fighting a cold. I have the dubious distinction of being the second person in this room who's been told he sounds like the Godfather.
I'm with you.
I know. 2 years ago, we had 9 people in our office. Presently, we're down to 7. The one that we're bringing back is the appraiser analyst position that left the office on the 1st of October of this year. The 1st of January will be the 3-month wait period before we rehire. The necessity of rehiring the position. Next year is a general reassessment year. Unlike the general reassessment years come around every 4 years, 2011 is a general reassessment year, which means essentially every parcel in the entire state of Illinois is supposed to be revalued or relooked at. We also, to kind of add to the dilemma, we have 3 brand spanking new township assessors that just began in as of January 1 of 2010. So we've got some people that are still getting up to speed. We'll still be down one person from where we were 2 years ago, but it is, I feel, and we have budgeted for the position already, so the money's in the existing budget.
Any questions for Stan? The good Stan.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Stan. Anything else on this issue? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. Next up is from the sheriff. Request approval of federal equitable sharing agreement. Is there a motion for approval? By Ron, seconded by Stan. Sergeant Apperson is here this evening if you have any questions.
I'd just like an explanation of this, if we could, please.
Sergeant, do you mind?
Sorry, what was the question?
Just want an explanation of this equitable sharing agreement.
Basically, there's 2 of us that have been assigned to the FBI task force on one of them. It allows, if we seize money or currency or anything of value, we seize that money off the street during the course of a violent crime investigation. That money is then put into our bank account, goes to the U.S. Marshals, and they cut us a check back for 85% of the seized funds.
Any other questions? Carol?
And so what is it that this fund is for once you receive it back?
To my knowledge, what this is for is to set up a bank account where we can deposit this and then do it paperless, basically with checks, to the U.S. Marshals, and then they can wire that money back to us in this account. That's my knowledge of it.
Anything else? Go ahead.
Trying to figure out what is the money used for. What can it be?
Well, the money goes back where it can only be used for investigating narcotics or any type of investigation of violent crimes.
James?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Does this go to the general budget for the Sheriff's Department? Or is this separate from the Sheriff's Department?
I believe that it just goes to the Sheriff's Office. That's my knowledge of it.
James?
That was kind of my question. Does this appear as a revenue item currently?
The sheriff has a special grant fund where this revenue and expenditure, I believe, shows up.
That's correct.
That's what this is.
To my knowledge.
It's federal money, so it's separated.
Anything else from the sergeant?
Price. Something needs to be clarified on page 5. The signature says governing body head, and the name is typed in Deborah Busey. I think you better find out whether
that was supposed to be changed. It okay, should so be Steve Price. Okay, well. It would be your name on the resolution.
Right. Anything else? All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Anything else on the issue? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Next up, County Administrator's Report, Deb.
The first item is a contract with LRS for the IBM AS400 replacement project. This is a project which budget is in, it is included in the fiscal year 2011 budget. It will be paid for from the Courts Automation Fund and the Public Safety Sales Tax Fund, as those are the revenue sources for paying for this technology for the county. This agreement is with LRS, and we have vetted this with the auditor's office. This is a sole source vendor for the county. This is a approximately $190,000 project. It's on page 59 is the total, $189,627. So this is budgeted in the current year budget. We have worked with the auditor to ensure that we have met all compliance requirements with regard to the county's purchasing policy and the state purchasing requirements. However, we thought it was a good idea for you, the county board, to also see this project and approve it at this point in time. So that is why it is before you at this time. Our operations of our technology, particularly for the court system, depend on this technology replacement. It is necessary. Our current AS400s are outdated and cannot be maintained into the future, and that is why we are here with this recommendation this evening.
Is there a motion for approval by Brad? Is there a second by Jan? Questions or discussion? James?
I'm curious as to what other alternatives. I know you mentioned it as a source, but I'm aware that people replace AS400s with other technology all the time. So did we give any serious look at replacing the hardware while maintaining the software?
I'm going to let Andy Rose, our IT director, answer that.
We can't look at alternative technology because the court software and the sheriff's department software is based on AS400 technology. So we have to either stick with AS400 technology or go out for new software packages for those two areas.
And the investment that you, the county board, have in that software is approximately $3 million. It was purchased in 2002 and installed and implemented over a six-year period cycle.
Correct.
And just the bare cost of the software itself was right at $2.8 million.
Correct.
That doesn't include additional hardware costs, additional project management costs on behalf of the county.
Other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
The next item is the General Corporate Fund Revenue Projection Report for fiscal 2010, and it begins on page 67 of your packet. Fortunately, this report continues to look the way it's looked the last couple of months, and we're nearly to the end, so it should be closer to accurate at this point in the year than it was 6 months ago. Basically, this is 11 months. Closer to 12 months of expenditure and 11 months of revenue, because we continue posting revenue in December. We also post expenditures too. The bottom line is right now it looks like we should receive $30.8 million in revenue, and that does take into consideration the fact that I am projecting that we won't see income tax money this month, which means the state will have only paid us for 9 months of income tax revenue this year. Last year they paid us for 10 months, and so that is included. That's where there's a $722,000 shortfall in income tax revenue. The other big one that continues to be down is general government, and as we've reported in prior months, a good portion of that revenue is attributable to real estate transactions, and then that revenue from the perspective of the criminal justice system was probably over-projected in the 2010 budget, has been corrected with the 2011 budget. But our other general sales tax revenues are coming in fairly close to what we budgeted, which is good news at this point. Overall, we did receive our final sales tax payment for the quarter cent sales tax just yesterday, I think. And for the year, the quarter cent sales tax was up 2.3%. So that's the total growth in net sales tax revenue over fiscal year 2009. The public safety sales tax was only up 1.13%, I think. That was it. 1.14%. There's a difference between those two quarter cents because of what they cover in terms of receipts. Based on our current projections, it looks like our expenditures will come in at only $30,077,000, which is $1 million under what is currently budgeted. The good news about the revenue projection is if we receive $30.8 million this year, our budget for next year is $30.9 million. I think that should be a fairly solid statement that we have hopefully a realistic revenue projection for 2011 and should not have to look at implementing cuts again next year. The other piece of the good news is on page 69 is that this will mean we end the fiscal year with a revenue positive to the tune of probably somewhere between $700,000 and $800,000, which goes right back into the fund balance and actually gets our fund balance back up to 8.5% overall total in cash at 7.4% when we consider the outstanding loan to the nursing home. But that's certainly better than where we started the fiscal year with less than 5% in the fund balance and puts us in a much improved position with regard to cash flow as we go into fiscal 2011. The budget change report on page 70 just shows basically all the changes that were made to the general corporate fund throughout the year. You just made some more tonight, so the final report will be in January.
Harris,
we don't have a report for the month.
Okay, so any questions for Deb? Yes.
Just a comment. Let's put on, it's still possible we could get some sales tax money from the state. I know that the
income tax,
with the Champaign Public Health District, there were payments from the state were behind like $1.5 million or $1.4. Last week they got a bunch of checks that totaled a $500,000 all in one day. So it's the holiday season.
There you go.
Okay, is there a motion to accept and place her reports on file by Brad? Is there a second by Geraldo? Any discussion further? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number five.
Okay, the next item is a request to reconsider the current hiring freeze resolution. And I put the current resolution in your packet as well. It's on page 73, resolution number 7248. Effectively, this request is that you lift the hiring freeze for permanent replacement of positions as they become vacant, which is in that would require your approval under the current resolution. I would still recommend that we maintain the hiring freeze in terms of holding a position that becomes vacant for 3 months because that generates good cost savings, and most departments can typically absorb that. You have granted waivers to certain areas, primarily in your detention facilities, in both the juvenile detention center and the adult detention facilities, where when those positions become vacant, there is no waiting period, and effectively those operations are down to minimum manning with their current staffing levels, and I would recommend that we still honor those waivers to the hiring freeze. But in terms of permanently eliminating positions, we have eliminated, as I said earlier, 40 positions from the general corporate fund departments in the last 2 years. And a lot of that was accomplished through this hiring freeze and not filling positions that became vacant. But I would also point out to you that departments weren't coming to you asking to fill those positions because they knew that they had to eliminate positions, and that has been done. In every office that's larger than 5 employees, there have been staffing reductions in our operations. And at this point in time, with the reductions that have taken place in staffing, I think there would be a legitimate argument for any department head to come to you and request that a position that has been budgeted for this year and that was staffed at the beginning of the year should continue to be budgeted and staffed. And if you maintain the current hiring freeze resolution, you would simply be saying yes every time they came to you, we'll authorize that. It seems more realistic to me to have a hiring freeze that reflects truly what your current operation is and recognizes what the departments have done in eliminating 40 positions in the last 24 months.
Other questions for Deb? Alan.
Yes. I'm going to recommend this body consider deferring this for either 3 or 6 months so that we get some measure of indication from state and sales tax, which should be fairly strong in this last quarter we'll receive in March, so that we have a little bit more of a measure as to what's happening this year. I'm not in disagreement with Deb, but I say this, three reasons. One, we're not out of the woods yet. Two, department heads have shown no hesitancy to, as we just saw the last Stan, to justify to us exactly what their needs are. And yes, Deb's right, we have approved it when the rationale is there. So they're showing no hesitancy to do that, and I think it still puts them on notice that we're not out of the woods. I'm not so sure when we take this hiring freeze off that, maybe the pressure might be a little bit less in their minds. And finally, I just think the county board needs to hear these things. I mean, I have no problem if we say yes to every one of them. And I don't think it's going to take that much more time of ours to hear the rationale as to why they feel they need that person. So we're not saying that we're not going to be able to hire somebody in that three-month schedule. I just think let's hear what the department heads say before we go ahead and make this move. 3 months or 6 months is a measured way to make sure we're in good shape.
Chris?
I would like to, I think, reiterate Mr. Nudo's comments and ask if the county administrator can give me, as a new board member, some estimate of how many of these waivers have come before the county board and whether there is any economic or efficiency, significant economic or efficiency cost to maintaining status quo, other than the fact that it takes a few minutes of the county board's time at every meeting.
I'm sorry, I can't answer how many you have looked at over the last 2 years exactly. With regard to, there's one thing that you need to be aware of. Your elected officials have complied with and cooperated with this hiring freeze, but they are not required to. So you don't, once you provide a budget to an elected official, they are responsible for the internal operations of their offices. And 9 of your offices in the general corporate fund are administered by elected officials. You have granted freezes or waivers. If you look on the vacant positions listing in tonight's agenda, of the 17 positions that are vacant, 9 of those already have waivers, so they don't have to come to you for this hiring freeze. 2 of them are not in general corporate, so the hiring freeze waiver does not apply. And one of the part-times also. I don't think I'm communicating very well. What I'm trying to say here is that I think this was an effective tool, and I think it was essential and necessary at a period in time when we were faced with cutting our budgets. And the department heads did everything required of them to accomplish the budget cuts. It seemed to me like at this point in time, with a number of the positions already having received waivers to have to come through and do this, and the elected officials really not being required to come to you to ask to fill a position when it becomes vacant, that perhaps just to equalize it across all of the positions in general corporate, it would make more sense to simply lift the permanent freeze. And I think I've strayed from what your question was. I apologize.
Oh, thank you.
I've got Stan, then Astrid.
I couldn't concur more with Deb. When I worked for the Housing Authority, we would have a freeze on. But as I spoke earlier, we would have maintenance staff that would leave us, and then our hands would be tied because we'd have to go through the process of going to the board to get a waiver. And by the time we'd get the waiver, whether it be a monthly meeting or, like in our case, sometimes meetings are canceled, that was just another time lag for us, and we were meeting our budget. The budget was there. The person left. So my comment comment is what Deb is saying, that, you know, the department heads have really followed through with this. We've cut where we can. We're not creating any new jobs or giving anybody any big raises. Basically, we're filling a slot if someone leaves. And the department head, they're elected to do so. We're appointed to do so, and we entrust them with that responsibility. We watch the budget. That's how we caught it before, and if necessary, we can go back to this type of operation. But I honestly feel, in my mind, it's time to lift that freeze and let the people do the job they need to do and move forward without always having to come through us and ask for permission to do so.
Astrid, can you use your mic, please?
Are you saying that you feel, I noticed that you're down about, what, 10%?
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying we're down to essential personnel and that anything else would be a speed up, really?
That is my opinion, right.
Okay.
Patsy?
I rather like that 3-month hiring freeze for two reasons. One is it gave the department head a chance to really evaluate the need, whether the person needed to be replaced. But more importantly to me is it allowed the chance to change a crisis into an opportunity and reevaluate maybe the whole functioning of an office or several offices working together. So for that reason, I'd really like to see it stay in that framework of opportunity of what could then be done within the need to hire or not. And I'd rather see it then come to the board with the argument saying, we've tested it for 3 months and we really find we need it, or we've tested it for 3 months and we find we can blend some things.
Well, and this leaves the 3 months. What I'm recommending is that you maintain holding the position vacant for 3 months when it becomes vacant, because I very much agree with you that it is an opportunity to look at the structure of my office when I have someone leave, and are there responsibilities that could be consolidated? Is there a different way to structure this? Could I replace this position with a less expensive position? And that, I think, is incumbent, and I think the department heads and elected officials are very aware that they have to be conservative in personnel management now and in the future, and that they will use that as an opportunity during that time frame to do that. And that's why I believe it's realistic to leave the 3-month requirement here, but to require that the positions be permanently not filled. And again, one of the reasons I am bringing this to you is because if you require a department to come, and every single time they come, there's an operational defense for why the position should be filled, then what is the point in having the what is the point in having the freeze?
Okay. If you're going to follow up, let me know and use your mic. Okay, Greg.
Deb, on your point about elected officials don't have to follow this, what part or what rough percentage of the budget really could we control if nobody wanted to play with us? I mean, we're only talking about 15% of the budget. To think that we control all these positions, sorry, we don't. You know, it's clearly up to the department or the elected officials. So, I mean, to think that we're going to change the whole thing, sorry, it ain't going to happen. Only if they're cooperative with us. So, I mean, I guess my point is, we're not going to control every single position in the county. And by the time you exclude all these, you know, the detention center and all that, basically we're talking about the administrative services, and that's just about the extent of it. I mean, not very many, really, is my point. So we're not changing much.
Chris?
With regard to Mr. James's comment, as a procedural matter, can the waiver be sought during the prepared and sought during the 3-month waiting period?
Yes, we have seen that happen, yes.
Okay, so in effect, if we're leaving the 3-month requirement, then there's no additional delay imposed on the department by the current process, because if this is an essential position, they can essentially bring the waiver to the county board so that can be approved by the time the 3-month waiting period
starts. That's right. There's no delay. There's only the requirement that they come to you and request to have the ability to fill the position.
Thank you.
Now, Alan, at this point, you never. I don't think you ever made a motion. Do you care to?
No, I don't want to make a substitute motion. Both this up or down. I'm not going to try to do an amendment.
Okay, just checking on that. Are there any other comments? Are we ready to vote?
Yes.
There's no motion.
Okay.
Nobody ever moved.
I'll make the motion to
The motion to approve the request as noted in the agenda made by Stan, seconded by Michael. Any other discussion?
Roll call, please.
Any other for roll call? We'll do a roll call. That's fine. Kat, please.
Alex.
No.
Ammons.
Yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Benzel.
Yes.
Ferguson.
Yes.
Carter.
Yes.
Coart.
Yes.
Holderfield. James.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Jones.
Yes.
Knott.
Yes.
Kurtz.
Yes.
McGinty.
Yes.
Michaels.
Yes.
Nudo.
No.
O'Connor.
Yes.
Petrie.
No.
Quisenberry.
No.
Richards.
Yes.
Rosales.
Yes.
Sapp.
No.
Schrader.
Yes.
Weibel.
Yes.
That motion carries. Good discussion. Next up is the, and thank you, Deb, very much. Next up is the treasurer, Dan.
Thank you. My monthly report's in your package starting on page 75. I just have two things I'd like to tell you about. Last month, the board authorized the issuance of tax anticipation warrants for the nursing home. It's the third year that they've done that to help their cash flow. I just want to let you know that on December 3rd of this month, the nursing home did receive $856,415. So they have that in their fund balance at the present time. Secondly, I'd like to follow up on Deb's...
Excuse me, Dan?
Yes.
Question about the first item. Did the number change or the time period change from previous years?
Yeah, last year was about $780,000. I think the last 2 years had been, the two previous years were $780,000. They're split into two tax anticipation warrants themselves, one due July 15th, one due September 5th, September 30th.
They're about the same size and about the same timing.
Yeah, and last year was 1% is what they paid. This year's 1.2%. Same bank, Midland State Bank. Midland States Bank. And I also want to follow up on Deb's point about the fund balance increasing and what the effect would be, especially for the newer county board members. This board several years ago, in a previous treasurer, they set their fund balance goal for general fund at 12.5% of their expenditure budget. And so that would mean around having a carryover balance of about $4 million. And what's the effect of that $4 million? The $4 million, if we had truly a 12.5% fund balance, would mean that we would not have to borrow through the lean time. Once real estate collections end and we make our final distribution in November, we've got to get all the way from November all the way till the next May before we start getting real estate money again. So there was a time, and not very many years ago, where we borrowed only for 2 or 3 months. We'd maybe borrow over March and April and then start getting money in May. But about 2008, that all changed for us, and we're now into a 12-month borrowing cycle. One thing that's occurred lately is that at the end of November, we did pay back public safety sales tax from General Corporate, $1,590,000. It was was helping our fund balance in General Corporate and certainly our cash flow. So that's been paid back. The only funds that are in General Corporate right now that would be of a loan nature are from the old nursing home loan of $333,000. So what's that mean to us? Well, on an average basis, on an average month, we pay out about $1.8 million in payables. We take in about $1.1 million in revenue. I'm sorry, I messed that up. We pay out about $1.1 million in payables. Our payroll is about $1.5 million a month, and we have about $1.8 million that comes in revenue. So if we can get that fund balance built back up, and we're around 8% now is what Deb projects. And that's right. I think it looks to me on my cash, from a cash basis, it looks like we're going to be about $800,000 higher. That certainly means that we may be able to offset borrowing again. Right now, December is kind of a tough place for us to start because this is a three payroll month. So each payroll is around $740,000 to $750,000 just for General Corp on a 2 week basis. Okay? So every 2 weeks, this coming Friday, we're going to pay out another $740,000 to $750,000. So $2.3 million for payroll for General Corp just this month. But I'm not going to borrow any money back from the public safety sales tax fund until I have to. But it just tells you that if we can, we're 6 months behind right now on income tax. 6 months, the state's behind on that. So that's a huge amount of money, and over $1 million, I would guess. And it would certainly make a big difference. If there's any questions about my report, I should be glad to answer them for you.
Any questions for Dan? Motion to accept in place on file by Carol, seconded by Lorraine. Dan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next up, auditor's report, Tony.
Because we have a few new members, I wanted to explain the report that I placed on your desks tonight. It's the purchase is not following the purchasing policy. And the idea behind this report is that the county board has the ultimate authority of spending money for Champaign County. And so in November, and before this new board was sworn in, the old board in November passes a budget for 2011, for that fiscal year. And it goes down the line item, telling department heads what they can spend money on and in what way. Department heads go ahead and spend that money, and in the vast majority of cases, there are good faith efforts all across the board to follow those, to follow the county's purchasing policies, travel policies, other spending policies, which were adopted by this board. So they're acting in your at your discretion. Sometimes department heads make payments, and again, after a good faith effort is made to follow the policy as written, they make payments out of necessity that don't follow policy. One case you'll see tonight is an attorney that billed for work that was in the previous fiscal year. We just got the bill recently, and so we still got to pay the bill, but we have a policy that you need to pay for services in the fiscal year that they're actually rendered. So, of course, the county needs to pay its bills, and of course, you know, that was the right thing to do, but still, it's a violation of policy. And as auditor, I can only spend money that's appropriately budgeted and within the policy of this board. So we have this report, which we give to you, and it has examples like that where a department, it's not a horrible transgression, but it doesn't follow policy. And so I'm asking this board to make an exception to policy and approve the specific examples on here. Now, part of that is just the actual legal requirement we need you to approve these spending expenditures. But part of it is also we want to encourage people to follow policy. And I can tell you employees and department heads don't want to be on this list. They don't want to be have their expenditures brought before the board where somebody might complain about it or ask questions that they don't want to answer. So this really serves two functions. One is just the actual legalistic, we need your approval to spend the money. And second, it encourages compliance with your policies. Now you'll also see in the example I just gave with the circuit court, that was already paid. And as you discussed in the previous issue, there are elected officials, for example, that don't necessarily have to follow your purchasing policies. They generally do, but in a case like this, they say go ahead and pay the bill anyway. And they have the authority to do that. So there are other examples where a bill, like a credit card bill, might have to be paid before we get the actual approval from the board through this list. So sometimes you'll see those little asterisks on the left that say, this is for informational only. This is for that second purpose I mentioned, encouraging people not to be on this list, encouraging people to follow policies. So every month I bring this to you twice, once at the Finance Committee meeting, which is just informational only. It's sort of a sneak peek on what you're going to see at the full board. At full board, you'll actually vote on it. So tonight's just information only. If you have questions about it, this is the perfect time to ask, but next week you'll actually vote on the purchases not following policy list. Some call it bad purchases, but we don't like that because they cast aspersions that we don't want to cast. So, Stan.
I have more of a comment than a question. I've worked for a lot of different agencies, and we've had policies, and Mr. Carter probably has too, but I don't understand, like when I file my state income tax, if I file it late, they hit me with a fee or a fine and late fees. we are the government. We set the rules. We set the guidelines. I always hear that we have to pay our bills, but yet people owe us. We issue fines through the courts. You know, it takes forever to get them collected. But here we have employees and we have a policy. Maybe that policy needs to be looked at, but if they can willy-nilly do what they want, and it seems like that's what happens, something like these dates, if I took something like that into my boss when I was working for the housing authority, you know what he'd tell me? Do you want a job? Get out of my office. I can't believe that things like these go on and it doesn't set a good example. I always say that, you know, you've got a policy, enforce the policy, put more teeth into it. I don't know all the legal ramifications. We have a lot of people that can give us opinions, I'm sure. But I don't like seeing some of this. I'm sure others in here don't. We're always told we can't do anything. Well, then I go back, why do we have a policy? But maybe we need to look at it, make it more stringent, and if they file it late, let's give them a fee of some type of paperwork, you know, like the state does when I do my auto sales. They give me a documentation fee. But I think there ought to be some teeth somewhere, because really we're never going to solve this problem. That's my comment.
What I'll tell you, you know, in this case, you guys are the boss, and they're your employees, and so part of the reason we have this report is so that you know when these things are going on, and changing policy is exactly the right response if it's something you don't like. I know back when Scott Tapley was still on the board, we were seeing a lot of reports for travel over 60 days where employees weren't getting their receipts in for reimbursed travel. And the county board said, you know what, no more exceptions. Anything after 60 days, sorry, you just lost the money. And we've had some very unhappy employees that we've said, we can't reimburse you now. There's been a change of policy. That's how it is. And there's not even the option of going to the county board anymore. They've said no, and that's it. And I'll tell you, the vast majority of employees have, they grumble about it, but they get their things in within 60 days now. So that's exactly the right response.
Can you use your mic, please, Astrid?
How many expenditures are there in a month, and how many of them make this list?
Oh,
it's like a pretty trivial number to me.
I mean, in an average month, you'll spend $7 to $9 million, something like that. Expenditures go into our office. It varies from month to month, and this is pretty common, what you're seeing here, two expenditures. Actually, I'm surprised there are more. Usually at the end of the year, we get a lot of people coming in, and so it fluctuates, but usually we keep it on a single page.
Except in January, you'll probably see a very long list for the months of January and February, because bills for 2010 won't get paid by the time the auditor closes the books on December 31st. And we still have to pay the bills.
Right.
And oftentimes, that is just a function of the timing of when bills are received. So this list will get very long in January and February.
James, then Patsy.
Yeah, looking at the list for this month, it looks like the first item is just an inconvenience of the fiscal year lining up on December 1st, so I wouldn't be concerned with that. But the second one looks like a situation where, you know, the bill was at least a year late for services rendered even 2 or 3 years prior. Is there any more information about why that was tolerated?
Well, again, that was someone billing us for work they were doing for us. And no, I think just from looking at the voucher, I think it was work done over a long period of time, and instead of billing, you know, along the way, they just did one big bill at the end. But I really, that was something that was processed through the circuit court. I can follow up on it and find out. Like,
the last date of service was November 2009, and the bill came in November 2010. That's a year.
Yeah. Yeah. If there were attorneys here, I'm sure they could tell us that's common practice, but I don't know that. I'll follow up with the circuit court and get back to you on that.
Patsy?
Again, information questions. Do I assume correctly that on the county website I can find the purchasing policies and emergency purchase policies so I can read these?
Yeah, the purchasing policy was part of the presentation last week, and yes, it's on the website.
It is on the website. Okay, and then the second is, according to the Illinois Attorney General and the state's attorney, purchasing policy does not apply to the Office of Elected Officials. Is that God speaking, or is that a statute, or what?
Well, it's the Illinois Attorney General, which is pretty near.
Well, I started with that first one.
It's in the statutes. If you read the statutes defining the sheriff and the state's attorney and the auditor, those officers are given authority over their budgets for the internal operations of their offices, not subject to approval by the county board.
So for, go ahead, Astrid.
Would this lawyer bill be something that...
Can you use your mic, please?
Would this lawyer bill be something that they had a right to pay no matter what we say? Because it's a bill to an elected official?
Yes, absolutely. And more to the point, it's an obligation to pay. Yeah.
It's not our business whether it's out of policy in the sense that they can do it anyway.
That's right.
So this is very helpful. I might recommend for new board members, to, if it's okay with the electeds, to contact them directly with questions, and for the, out of respect for the current board members, we'll go ahead and move on. We do need a motion to approve or to place his monthly report on file by Geraldo, seconded by Stephanie. Is that okay? Any comments? Anything else for Tony? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you very much.
Under other business, we've already covered number one. Deb had something as well.
I learned yesterday, after it was too late to add this to your agenda for tonight, that you'll recall that last month you authorized the issuance of bonds for the new facility on the East Campus in the amount of about $2 million, and almost immediately upon your approving the issuance of those bonds, the bond market went south in a really bad way. So we're trying to wait to issue those bonds until there's some improvement, and our financial advisor and our bond counsel both believe that waiting until January is well advised at this point in time to not issue them soon. However, the project has begun and we are going to have bills to pay in January. So to manage that, I would like to bring a resolution to the board next week authorizing loans from two other funds that have adequate fund balances to allow us to pay our bills in January until we actually receive the proceeds from the bond. I just wanted to give you a heads up on that, so you wouldn't be surprised when you see that on the county board agenda.
Carol?
How far, you say the project started, how far have we just started with the engineering portion of it?
No, the site work is being done, and
the
actual steel for the facility is expected to be delivered this week. So that's going to be a pretty big cost.
Is there any other business? The items for consent agenda are A 1 through 8 and 11 through 13, B 1 and 2, E 1, and that is it. Is there anything else? Carol?
On the D item, I'm sorry, on the consent agenda, B is not on consent.
Which one?
Which one are you talking about?
D.
I'm sorry.
Item B.
D is not.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Correct. Anything else? We're adjourned.
Thank you.